JC Corcoran Podcast.
Dennis Blair, who for the last, 8 years, Dennis, has been the opening act for George Carlin?
8 years.
About 8 years. I saw the Bee Gees the other night.
You had some Bee Gees in your act, didn't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, here we
Should
go.
Should we do some nostalgia?
Look out.
All right,
look
let's bring let's
here
turn
come,
back the clock.
Here
92
comes
years.
Dennis.
This is the old Bee Gees, of course, from the disco era.
Well, you can't tell by the way I wear my pants that I am a guy. I don't take no chance. But when I sing, I sound so dumb, like I've just been snorting helium. But it's all right, I can't win. I sound just like Tiny Tim. Long as I don't hurt no one, singing like a girl is fun. Nobody today can tell what I'm saying, because I'm singing too high, singing too high.
Let's just stop right there. Now all the rock stars are doing Christmas albums. For instance, Led Zeppelin Christmas album coming out this Thursday. No Stairway, Man. Now on Christmas, when it snows, it all goes up your nose. And I'm leaving some cocaine for Santa.
All right.
Oh, Hootie and the Blowfish. Let's
Please.
Get modern. Hootie and the Blowfish Christmas.
When Santa hits the floor, heading for the bathroom door, get out of his way, just let him pee.
All right. Christmas albums you'll never see. R.E.M. Christmas, of course. See, R.E.M., Michael Stipe is one of my favorite singers, but I have no idea what he's talking about, because all the songs are basically...
Oh, green fields, the dog is in my yard, the car's on Thursday. The butter knife is dripping with Aunt Martha. Someone forgot the cheese.
What the hell is he talking about? No one knows. Well, you know, I'm doing a Trial of the Century themes now.
I've been watching O.J. Simpson all the live long day. I will never understand why he didn't throw that glove away. I don't know if he is guilty, but one thing's plain by far. He should sell his Ford Bronco and buy a faster car.
There's the O.J. portion of the album. And of course, my favorite, the Menendez brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lyle and Eric, Lyle and Eric, have an IQ lower than Bo Derek. Off to jail they'll go, go, cause shooting mom and dad's a no-no. Lyle and Eric seem much calmer. Soon they will be joining Jeffrey Dahmer. If convicted, brother, you can't fry one without the other.
Oh,
lovely
man.
Little vignettes.
Man, man.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it's funny because I mentioned Clinton. So I do this.
Clintons, meet the Clintons. They're a presidential family from the town of Little Rock. And in November, that's where they'll be. Thank you, Clint. I'm Marion Barry, look at me. Now I am mayor of D.C. I'll sit and smoke my pipe all day. And they'll elect me anyway. Give me crack now and I don't care. Give me crack, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I mean, they asked Marion Barry if he tried marijuana. He said, yeah, but it didn't exhale. It's strange. It's weird.
We were looking at some of the old winners of the Grammys, and you go back like 10, 15 years, and Michael Jackson actually won a Grammy years ago for Best Rock Performance for Beat It, because Eddie Van Halen's got a 45-second guitar riff
right.
in the whole thing. Michael Jackson, one of your favorites?
Right. See, I remember him for his ballads.
Cracking himself up here. He knows what's coming.
Such lead-ins.
She's out of my life. She's out of my life. And I don't know if I should laugh or cry. I don't know if I'm a girl or guy.
You remember Michael?
All right, take us out with something big, and then we're going to send you on your way. Go ahead, kill
something
us. Something
big? Let's
kill
just,
us with
well,
something
let's
big.
Do my
Here's
big,
the big finish.
Finish. John here. Denver, here we go.
Oh, great, here we go.
My songs make me nauseous, like a Doris Day movie, like a date with your mother, like Donny Osmond's teeth, like eating at Denny's.
not a sponsor, is it? Good. Like Dom DeLuise, naked.
Yes, the greatest hits of John Denver.
Life on the farm was never much fun. I had to get up with the rising sun. Now I don't care if my work gets done. Thank God I'm a millionaire. Well, I got me a poodle and I got me a fiddle, but I can't play the fiddle because I'm fat around the middle. So I'm gonna let the poodle go and piddle on the fiddle. Thank God I'm a millionaire. Yeehaw!
John Denver!
That's a big finish.
So I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, July 13th, 2022, 122 days remaining in our American democratic system of government, as we have noted. How you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. I'll tell you, when we were planning the trip to come back to St. Louis for a couple of weeks, we're here now, you know, on the way in, you're like, okay, all the things we're going to do, all the people we're going to see, and we always talk about all the restaurants we're going to go to that we miss, that we don't have when we are in Florida. And we sort of bounce back and forth between Florida and St. Louis these days. And, you know, on the list, number one, Lion's Choice. Jesus, those things are good. And you end up missing them. I happen to really, really love Schnucks Fried Chicken. I just think it is terrific. But in terms of restaurants, on the list, really, really high up there is Mission Taco. So two nights ago, we go to Mission Taco, and they have a bunch of new stuff on the menu. And so it's like, because really when the menu started out a couple of years ago, it wasn't that expansive. It was really, really good, but you didn't have a ton of choices. I only think they had maybe five or six different kinds of tacos. And now you look at the menu, and it's like, wow, look at all this new stuff that they put on there while we were away during the pandemic and weren't able to come back very often. So, you know, first thing you got to do is you got to try them, right? So I tried one of these new tacos the other night, and it had some sort of jalapeno-based something or other, some sort of relish on the top of this thing, and my stomach has not been right since. And last night, well, let's just put it this way. I'm surprised you didn't hear what happened. I don't do scatological humor. For like 2 years in Buffalo, New York, they stuck me in the morning show with a guy who was the king of burp and fart humor, and it cured me of ever wanting to talk about scatological stuff again. Not that I did in the first place, but you know, if there was any choice, that sort of solidified my choices right there. But I'm telling you, whoa, I don't know what on earth was on that taco. It was delicious, but I may never be the same again. So I'm still mildly suffering the effects of that the other night. Where will we go tonight? I know one of the things I want to do is go see Kelly and Clint and Trixie Delight. And by the way, you know, sometimes they play with a whole band, and that's fantastic. And then they do those heart tribute shows from time to time. But when it's just Kelly and Clint up there on stage, it's amazing how much sound they can get out of just two people playing. I don't know how they do it. But I've been wanting to have somebody do this for me for years, and I can never find anybody to do it or to do it right so that it sounded like exactly what I wanted it to sound like. And when I play this thing for you, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. But for years, and I don't think this jingle has changed since the day I set foot in St. Louis in May of 1984. So I said to Kelly, here's my idea. And she said, oh, got it. I'm like, you know somebody who plays ukulele? Oh, yeah, of course. I said, well, then have at it.
For a hole in your head or a whole new head, J.C. Corcoran.
Hit it right out of the park. Fantastic work. Way to go. All right, now, for those of you who pay attention to what I say, from at least from time to time, you'll recall a couple of years ago when the new cast of Saturday Night Live was revealed, and you know, some of these new people started appearing in sketches on SNL. The first time I saw this guy, Bowen Yang, I remember saying, this guy is a star. Keep your eye on Bowen Yang. He's going to be one of the biggest things in show business. I'm telling you. Now, even somebody like Kristen Wiig didn't really make it clear to me that she was going to be a monster-sized star the first time I saw her. But the first time I saw Bowen Yang, I was like, watch this guy. I'm telling you, they have really, really found something. So the Emmy Award nominations come out yesterday. So here we go. In along with Tony Shalhoub for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Anthony Carrigan for Barry, Brett Goldstein for Ted Lasso, another guy from Ted Lasso, Bowen Yang, Saturday Night Live. And it's only his second season. I mean, it's a pretty big deal. So let's see here. Ted Lasso and the HBO show The White Lotus tied for second place with 20 each. HBO Succession leading the pack with 25. Squid Game got in there. Chadwick Boseman got a posthumous nod for Marvel's What If. So did Jessica Walter for Archer. Norm MacDonald for Nothing Special. Stranger Things got nominated for Best Drama Series, but none of the actors were recognized. Selena Gomez got left out, even though Only Murders in the Building is up for Best Comedy Series, and both Steve Martin and Martin Short were nominated. Dave Chappelle's controversial Netflix special, The Closer, got two nominations. The Emmys are going to be on September 19th, both NBC and Peacock. Oh, yeah, and in her final season, Kate McKinnon got a nomination for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series. What else is in here, too? Oh, Outstanding Variety Talk Series, The Daily Show, Trevor Noah, Jimmy Kimmel, John Oliver, Seth Meyers, and Stephen Colbert. And John Oliver wins it every darned year, every single year. A couple of years ago, I took my second trip to Cleveland, Ohio. Now, Cleveland, obviously, the butt of a lot of jokes. You had a river that actually caught on fire back in the 1970s. You had the nickname Mistake on the Lake. You had a ballpark where the Cleveland Browns played back in the day that looked like the place was going to fall down if anybody clapped their hands. And that doesn't even take into account the weather, which in the wintertime, you know, you just get feet of snow because of the lake effect. A lot of people don't, let's put it this way, they don't trust what's in Lake Erie. So it's like, oh, let's go swimming. Nah, let's not. And all of that stuff, by the way, was true. And it was all deserved. Well, a funny thing happened over the course of the last, I don't know, about 30 years. And I used to drive right through Cleveland all the time. When I lived in Buffalo and I would come back to Chicago to visit my parents, I would have to drive right through the heart of Cleveland. You could see the whole downtown, the football stadium, everything like that. And it was like, wow, what a sorry looking place. Well, like I said, over the course of the last 30 years, something interesting happened. They started this urban renewal project and, you know, put in a beautiful planetarium and science center, very similar to the one that we have here. And then there's this area, entertainment area called the Flats, just sort of off to the side of the downtown area. And it's a lot of restaurants and just, you know, whole entertainment district. Built a brand new football stadium, built a beautiful ballpark, used to be called the Jake back in the day. And, you know, just cleaned up the city. And also they have the movie The Christmas Story, A Christmas Story, rather. They have a little gift shop, and then they have the house that was used in the movie. And the gift shop is actually very nice. You can buy these, you know, pellet guns, and there's lots of little, you know, memorabilia type things from the movie that you can buy. It's really cute. And so, you know, it's like all of a sudden, look at all this. And perhaps the linchpin of the whole deal, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I've always told people, you know, you got to give yourself an entire full day, at least one. And sometimes, you know, it depends on how dedicated you are to wanting to see the history of the genre. You might even want 2 days. I mean, that's certainly true of Cooperstown. You need 2 days to really do justice to the trip. And again, Cleveland and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, very similar in that regard. And I've been there a couple of times, and it's a wonderful place. And as I always tell people, I always make a point of the idea that, you know, after you've done all of the memorabilia stuff and they have little movies and all sorts of things like that, then you need at least an hour or two just for the gift shop alone. And bring money, because the stuff's not cheap. But the place is massive. They call it a gift shop. Yeah, it's the size of Costco. And they have, you know, everything. Everything you could possibly want. From little keychains and cigarette lighters and stuff like that, all the way to, you know, like one-of-a-kind type wall hangings and tour jackets and just everything you could possibly imagine wanting in terms of memorabilia, sort of celebrating the whole idea of rock and roll. I still remember Close and I went and did a couple of shows from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because they have a radio studio built right into the thing. So we didn't have to bring any equipment or anything. We just showed up and sat down and they said, go. And we went and that was that. We had Jennifer Lopez on the show that day. I still remember that. But anyhow, when I lived in Houston, we made some really, really good friends there. And they, believe it or not, ended up moving from Houston to Cleveland. And we really missed them. So a couple of years ago, we were like, well, let's go up there. My wife had not seen the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I was like, well, we'll go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Cherie and Scott and Chell. And we'll visit with them for a couple of days. And they took us on a tour of the city that was wonderful. That is a great place. You know, our old buddy Russ Mitchell from CBS News and Channel 4 back in the day. You know, Russ never made it past weekends at Channel 4. He was the weekend anchor for a long time at Channel 4, and they never promoted him, you know, up to a main anchor position. Well, they had Larry and Julius, and they were dedicated to that whole thing, and they made a pretty good team. So all Russ does is go from weekends at Channel 4 in St. Louis to being like the number three anchor at CBS News. And he was there for 20 years, but the same thing sort of happened. He sort of, you know, topped off, and that was it. He was never going to go any further than he was. So he finally just sort of had it with the whole thing. And this is something that people don't understand. You can make more money and you can have a better sort of quality of life in a local news situation like Cleveland than you can in network news. Now, you know, yeah, there's a lot of big network stars, you know, like somebody like Gayle King or, you know, Katie Couric back in the day, making millions and millions of dollars, $15, $20 million a year. But that's, you know, like a lot of things. They pay their key people a ton of money, but then everybody else gets shit pay, basically. Now you're living in New York where breakfast costs $70. And even if they're paying you well, it's, you know, your quality of life is still really impacted by the cost of living in the city of New York. So Russ did what a lot of people did. He put his 20 years in at CBS, and, you know, somebody in Cleveland got a hold of him and said, yeah, what about local news? And so Russ went there, and he's been there now for about, I don't know, got to be like 10 or 12 years, and he's doing really, really well there. And if you watch old episodes of Leave It to Beaver, Ward Cleaver from time to time will mention the fact that he was from Shaker Heights, which is the really, really nice suburb in Cleveland. Anyhow, I'm getting way off the beaten path here. When we were at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I came back the next day after we had done the tour, and I said, you guys just hang out, do whatever, go out, do something. I'm going to go back to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've arranged to record an interview with the curator of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm going to record that this afternoon and put it on the air, which is what I did. And he was fine. You know, these PR guys are all sort of the same. They're just a little bit too slick for their own good. But we had a nice conversation. He answered all the questions. It was a great interview. We put it on the air, and from time to time, I will replay that here on the podcast. Well, I hadn't heard anything about this guy in a very, very long time. Not since I had been there to interview the guy. Three guys are being charged with allegedly trying to sell stolen Eagles lyrics through auctions. And one of the guys also happens to be the curator for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The stolen property includes about 100 pages of Don Henley's handwritten notes with lyrics to Hotel California and Life in the Fast Lane. It's valued over $1 million. The pages were stolen in the 70s by an author hired to write an Eagles biography, but were acquired about 20 years ago by one of the guys being charged. The other two were brought in to help with the selling and even tried to get Don Henley to buy back the pages. All three are being charged with criminal possession of stolen property and conspiracy. Translated? It appears there's going to be an opening at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. Stephen Colbert did a hilarious bit years ago about people trying to capitalize on the Eagles, and there was a lawn care company. They had the logo on the side of the van, and it was called Rake It to the Limit. Well, somebody tweeted a picture of a trailer with the logo Alanis Landscaping on it, as in Alanis Morissette, and commented, "You ought to mow." Then Alanis Morissette retweeted it and added, "I'm here to remind you of the grass you left when you went away." But leave it to Weird Al Yankovic to have the last word. He retweeted the Alanis Morissette quote and said, "Hey, stay in your lane." Remember Anthony Weiner, Carlos Danger to you? Then you had Sydney Leather, a semi-attractive woman who lived in like Tennessee or Kentucky or something like that. And I think it's all coming back to, you know, the big scandal with Anthony Weiner. And Anthony Weiner was married to the chief political operative for Hillary Clinton. Her name is Uma Abedin. And I have always thought that Uma Abedin was really, really good looking. By the way, you know, Anthony Weiner, there was presidential talk for him for a while. When he is not busy on the internet tweeting and emailing and in other ways displaying his Anthony Weiner, he's actually a pretty good political mind. And he's smart. And it wasn't even surprising to me that some people were talking about him for much higher political office. But he's got that, you know, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump disease, where he just wants to get his dick out there. And that's basically it. So Uma Abedin, after the second, she stayed with him for the first scandal. But when it happened again, she's like, "That's it. I'm out of here." And she's been on TV. She's been on Colbert a couple of times. And she's a lovely woman. She has very, you know, ethnic look to her. Her name is Uma Abedin. So that sort of gives some of it away. But I've always thought she was really pretty. And she's another one where it's like, why was Hillary Clinton running? You were the one that should have run, but apparently she didn't have any interest in that. So she wrote a book or two, and every time she's been on, I've found her just, you know, really, really attractive and appealing and intelligent and just the kind of woman you want to be around. So maybe it should not be a surprise that she is now dating Bradley Cooper. See? People were telling me, "You think she's pretty?" It's like, you're reacting to the idea you're attaching Anthony Weiner to her. And anyhow, never mind. Elon Musk backing out of the Twitter deal, now being sued for messing up the stock price of Twitter. Springsteen and the E Street Band going on a North American tour next year. Closest it comes to St. Louis is Kansas City on February 18th. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're not getting a Springsteen concert. It just means that it's not on the tour, not among the tour dates yet. I'm not sure, though, this is going to be one of these cases where it'll be added on. You might have to go to Kansas City on this whole thing. Now, speaking of things I alerted you to a long time ago, going all the way back to December, the James Webb Telescope. Remember me telling you all about that? It got to the point where it's like, I should probably stop talking about this because maybe people are not necessarily digesting this and maybe they're not as interested in it as I am, so I should probably back off. Well, maybe my initial instincts were right because people are just being leveled by the impact of these photographs from deep, deep outer space. The stuff that came out yesterday, I already can tell you a couple of these pictures I'm having blown up into poster size, going to put them in frames and hang them on the wall because they are miraculous. It's just incredible. And again, you're looking not at the light that's being reflected now. You're looking at the light that is being reflected or that was being reflected 66 billion years ago. I think yesterday I said million. I meant to say billion. Let's just leave it alone. This is a long time ago, okay? It's a very, very long time ago. And, you know, there is a possibility that as this thing gets further and further out into deep space, it's a million miles away right now, and is looking back in time, that we could end up seeing the origin of the universe, could see the Big Bang. And all those jokes, we were talking about this yesterday, all these jokes that people used to make fun of Carl Sagan, millions and millions. You know, it's not that funny anymore because now you're looking and it's like, wow, he wasn't kidding. And if I understand this correctly, and I think I do, these pictures that we're seeing where it just looks like somebody threw a bucket of sand in the air, and each one of those grains of sand is its own separate universe. And somebody said the other night, now, what you're seeing, because somebody says, wow, how big an area are we looking at? And somebody explained it, and they're like, well, if you took one grain of sand, held it out at arm's length, that's the area you're seeing, that one grain of sand. This is absolutely mind-boggling, and I knew it was going to be mind-boggling. And as one of the scientists said yesterday, it's possible that we may see things eventually that our minds are not even capable of digesting. Maybe our brains as human beings aren't developed enough to be able to understand and to digest the magnitude of what is out there. But it makes you feel awfully small, because when you see that picture yesterday, a couple of those pictures yesterday, you know, it's sort of like that picture that has been circulating on the internet for years of the Milky Way, and we're one little grain of sand, if you will, in the Milky Way, and you just look at it and you go, how in the world can you get mad about the fact that you didn't get the parking space you wanted when you see how tiny and relatively insignificant that little spot in the Milky Way is? I need some weed if I'm going to talk about this anymore. Brian May, by the way, from Queen, and one of the guys from 10cc, wrote a song called Floating in Heaven, inspired by the James Webb Space Telescope. I'll listen to it later and see if it's anything we want to play. All right, birthdays today from the Hangover movies. Ken Jeong, 53. Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob, is 60 today. Cool guy. We had him on the air. One of my heroes, Cameron Crowe, who sort of lost his mojo when he lost his wife, Nancy Wilson. It just his movies just weren't the same after that. But come on, get serious here. You know, he wrote the script for Fast Times at Ridgemont High, wrote Jerry Maguire, Almost Famous, Say Anything. I have the album, the movie soundtrack from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, in album form, and he signed that for me when he directed a movie called Singles with, Bridget Fonda was in it, a couple of other people. And so I went on that movie junket, and I brought the album along, and he autographed it, and he wrote, Have a Bitchin' Summer, signed Cameron Crowe. He is 65 today. Michael Spinks, 66. Cheech Marin, cool guy, 76. Harrison Ford is 80. Roger McGuinn of the Byrds is 80. Patrick Stewart, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, is 82. There was a movie that came out in the 70s called Where Were You When the Lights Went Out? It was based on, was it Doris Day or something? I forget. But it was based on the blackout that hit New York City that lasted 25 hours on this date 45 years ago today in 1977. 37 years ago today, I remember it well, 1985, Live Aid, a half billion people either watched, listened, or in some way participated in Live Aid, the concert in London, Philly, Moscow, Sydney, $100 million raised for Ethiopia's starving people, of course, Freddie Mercury and Queen, Mick Jagger and Tina Turner, it's quite a show, and Ghost, Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore, Whoopi Goldberg released on this date 32 years ago. You're in trouble, girl. Today is National French Fry Day. French fries are our favorite deep fried food, our favorite thing to eat with burgers, and the most popular American food. Really? They ranked first ahead of burgers, mashed potatoes, grilled cheese sandwiches, and fried chicken. Recent survey found McDonald's still has the best fast food fries. Chick-fil-A in there too, Five Guys, Wendy's, and Arby's. Regular fries are our favorite type, but curly fries are a close second. Stick-cut fries are next, then crinkle-cut waffle fries and wedges. 24% of us have called them freedom fries before, but mostly as a joke. Our favorite things to dip fries in: ketchup, ranch, cheese sauce, barbecue sauce, and mayonnaise. 14% of people say knowing that it's French Fry Day makes them more likely to eat French fries. I think it was yesterday we were talking about going on the road. And, oh, you know what it was? It was over the weekend. We were talking about Memphis. You know, the oldie show on K-Wolf at 101.7 and soon at 101.5 airs on Sunday morning from 9 to 11. And we had a whole series of songs about Memphis, Tennessee, popular destination for vacationers across the Midwest, certainly in St. Louis, with all the musical history and all that sort of stuff. Really sort of a cool place to hang out, too. Travel and Leisure put out its annual list of the best U.S. cities to visit on vacation. Number one, Charleston, South Carolina. They say it's got the perfect balance of southern charm, knockout food and drinks, and walkability. Top 10 cities, Charleston, New Orleans, Santa Fe, Savannah, Georgia, Honolulu, New York, Chicago, Alexandria, Virginia, San Antonio, Texas, and Boston. They also ranked the best international cities. Their top pick, a place in Mexico, pronounced Oaxaca, Oaxaca, but it's spelled O-A-X-A-C-A, and would have taken you all day to come up with the correct pronunciation on your own. That's what I'm here for. Sign of the times, if you want to use the heated seats in your new BMW, you might have to pay a monthly fee. They're moving to a subscription service in a few countries and charging $18 a month for heated seats. Not available or burdensome on the rest of us in the USA yet. Here's a new dating term for you. You've heard of red flags. How about pink flags? It's a term that's been around for a while. Cosmo talked about it back in 2017. Huffington Post picked up on it too. Basically, pink flags are subtle signs somebody might not be a good fit for you and your relationship is doomed, but not always. Sometimes the things that might seem like deal breakers, but it's really something you could work through. All right. So, for example, changes in behavior, like they're not as affectionate as they used to be. That could be a red flag, but it doesn't always mean anything. The other person never has an opinion on things like where to order food from. So you always have to take charge. Is that worth breaking up over, or could you just work around it? Mismatched love languages. Like one of you shows your love through physical contact. The other one does it with acts of service, you know, like buying you a nice shirt or making coffee every day. That might just be something you need to get used to. Basically, pink flags aren't always deal breakers, but you also shouldn't ignore them because they could fester. The term we used up until now was issues. We have issues. And you look at somebody like Natalie Portman, who I met when she was 15 years old. She had done a movie called Beautiful Girls. Uma Thurman was in it, and Matt Dillon was in it. Oh, Timothy Hutton was the guy I was trying to remember. And Natalie Portman gave a performance in that movie where you're like, how at 15 years old do you have the sort of insight and the sort of acting chops to be able to do what she did? It's not a great movie. It's not a bad movie. It's just not a great movie. But I'm telling you something, her performance in this, I just remember thinking to myself, where did you come from? In addition to being just devastatingly attractive, just, you know, to be 15 years old and be able to act on that level, truly incredible. Well, don't get too excited because she might be half nuts. Chris Hemsworth refrained from eating meat before a kissing scene with Natalie Portman in the new Thor movie because she's vegan. Now, she did say, oh, that was so thoughtful. He's such a nice person. I just find that this is so stupid. It's like, you know, if it was me, I'd probably eat a salami sandwich. And that's it. Pucker up, sweetheart. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, July 13th, 2022 is in the can. 122 days remaining in our American democratic system of government. As we have known it, we are here every weekday morning just after 7 o'clock. We archive everything. Please continue to spread the word. We really do appreciate it. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, the showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. I'm going to see Cardinals and the Doyers tonight. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.